Okay, Dad, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. Thank you for this day you've given us. Mm-hmm. All your places that the word is going forth today, your name might be honored and glorified.
Yes.
We thank you for each one that's come out this morning. We pray mm-hmm. that you would be with those who give forth the word this morning.
Amen. Okay, we've been looking at angels. Let's go to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. Psalm chapter 91. And the last point, well, one of the points we were talking about is that God has given angels to protect us, to protect us. And in Psalm 91, we'd looked at Hebrews 1, 13, and 14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Minister means to serve. So God has given angels to serve us, to be our unseen helpers. Wouldn't you ladies like it if you got up this morning and, of course, maybe you did them last night anyway, but if you had a dish, if you had a sink full of dishes last night, and if you got up this morning, you were going to do them, and they were all done? And then you went to clean the bathrooms, and they were all done? And you guys went out to... You knew the oil was due to be changed in your car, and you went out there, and the sticker was marked yesterday's date. You thought the grass needed mowing, and you looked out the window, and it was all mowed. Who's doing that? Well, God has his unseen helpers to us, our angels. They're ministering spirits. They're sent forth to serve us, but we cannot see them with our physical eyes because they are spirits. In Hebrews 1, 14. So a spirit is one that does not have flesh and blood, so our physical eyes can't see angels unless they appear to us. So it'll only be when we get to heaven, if God chooses to reveal it to us, all the different ways that angels helped us. And we never had a clue because we could not see what they were doing. So as we look at Psalm 91 and verse 11, Psalm 91, verse 11, the Bible says, "For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up," where?
In
their hands, "lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." Just imagine all the things that we almost did and got hurt, but an angel was dispatched to help us, to protect us. And of course, this does not mean we can misuse angels and their protection, because look at me in Matthew chapter 4. Satan tried to tempt Jesus to misuse this feature. I suppose everyone here has airbags in your vehicle nowadays. How many of you have ever gone out and just ran into something just to experience the airbags? No. I'm told that it's very expensive when they go off to replace them. And I forget who was, got in an accident. And the car wasn't that bad, but the airbags went off. And so the insurance company told them, "We're going to total it because the airbags are so expensive to replace." So, no, it's not just something we go off and use. "Well, I've got this airbag feature on my car. I'm going to go see how comfortable it is." Just boom, you know, airbags come out. No, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.'" So Satan was tempting Jesus here. Why don't you just turn these stones into bread? I know you have the power to do it. But the power isn't to be misused for selfish things, is it? But then it goes on, verse 5. "Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. From this, we know that Satan knows what? The scripture. We just read this in Psalm 91, and he used it on Jesus to try to tempt him. He said, Jesus, Psalm 91 says, if lest you dash your foot against a stone, you know, the angels will protect you. They'll lift you up in their hands. So, Jesus, I've set you way up here on the pinnacle of the temple. Why don't you just throw yourself down? How many of you have ever seen at a carnival or someplace a bungee strap thing? Yeah. I don't know if they still, do they still use those? I know they've had some. They do? Okay. I read about once, I don't know, it's in a different country. I'm thinking like Africa, but I'm not sure. But wherever it is, they had this huge gorge, ravine, and a bridge across it, and they jumped on bungee straps way down there, and just, but some of them have broken at times, so I don't know if they still use them. I know they used to have them right in Greenville at the 4-H fair, but so Satan is tempting Jesus. Jesus, why don't you just throw yourself off there? The angels will catch you. And Jesus responds to him there, verse 7. And Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So angels are not given to us to show off or, you know, can you imagine people, even children, climbing way up, jumping off from a roof, just so the angels would catch them? Well, that doesn't work that way, does it? No, when we tempt God, when we foolishly do things, God does not promise that angels will protect us from all harm if we're doing foolish things, things that are not his will. So Jesus obviously did not fall for that one either. So angels are given to protect us, but we can't misuse the power, because God doesn't promise that power will be given to those who are trying to show off or misuse it. So that was number one. But let's go jump to number three this morning then. Angels are greater in power than man. Notice in 2 Peter 2. Angels are greater in power than man. Angels have more power than we do. And that stands to reason, because they are in a whole different realm. They are spirit beings. There are things in that realm that we can't do in this physical realm. 2 Peter 2:9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are what? Greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. So it tells us here what not to do as people. And it says in verse 11, gives the illustration, even angels, they're greater in power and might than we are. But they don't even bring railing accusations against leaders. They don't. So we should not. So angels are greater in power and might than we are. I've noticed in Psalm 100, verse 103, verse 20. Psalm 103, verse 20. You start talking about things that people can't see, and it gets their curiosity going. Psalm 103, verse 20. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that what?
Excel in
strength. That do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. So angels, they excel in strength, much more strength than we have. And then in Psalm chapter 8, and verse 1, Psalm 8, verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hast set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. How many of you saw the moon last night? Anyone? Okay. If it isn't full, it's really close. I don't know. I didn't look it up, but it's really big in the sky. So many times when I see the moon in the sky at night, I think of this psalm here. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. Last night, it just seemed so much like a 3D picture, just the moon just hanging there in the sky. And what a beautiful picture it was. And we think about God just placing that. The reason I say it is because I came up here last night, had to record for the extended care service today. And as I looked at that, I was thinking of this psalm, I just prayed, Lord, please help me to follow the course you have for my life. Just like that moon. After all these thousands of years, that moon hasn't crashed into the earth. It hasn't drifted out further in space. The moon is still in that same course that we need it to be. It has something to do with the tides in the ocean. And we're told if the ocean didn't have tides, it wouldn't like self-clean itself. Just the motion and all the other reasons that are far beyond me that God has the tides for. But it has to do with the moon and its pull just at that right spot. The moon in the sky is the same basic diameter as the sun is in the sky. Although we can't really appreciate that most of the time until maybe it's really cloudy and you can, or maybe like on the horizon you might see the sun like orange. But yet the sun is so many million miles away more than the moon, but the sun is so much larger than the moon. But God, in his wisdom, has both of them the same size in our sky. The moon being a lot closer and smaller, but a certain diameter. The sun being far, far away and appearing to us the same diameter. And you just think both of those in their courses. And so as I came up here last night, I was just praying, Lord, help me to be in the course that you planned for my life. I want to accomplish what you want. I don't want to vary from it. You know, as I said, the moon isn't getting too close to the earth to endanger it, and it isn't drifting further away, which would cause us other problems. So it's just amazing that, and as we read on, verse 4, so thinking about that, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him what? A little lower than who? The angels. And has crowned him with glory and honor. So we've been made a little lower than the angels. Not in importance, as we'll see. But we're referring here to power. We don't have the same power that angels have. They excel in strength. We do not. We are weak. But they are not. So angels are greater in power than man, but truly it's a wonder that, as it says in verse 4, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him. President Trump was in Alabama last evening, and thousands and thousands and thousands of people gathered there to listen to him. So it doesn't matter where he goes, there are just huge crowds that, but just think about the Lord verse 4. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou what? Visitest him. Wherever he goes, thousands of people go to visit him. But with us, it says, the son of man visiteth us. He came to this earth, and he wants to sup with us. If you turn me to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Now, if you were to invite President Trump to... if we would have invited President Trump to ride the float yesterday, or if we would invite President Trump to our home for lunch, would he come? Probably not. He's too busy. But think about that. Revelation 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and what? Open a door. So he's standing at our door and knocking. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will what? Come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. So it's amazing, isn't it? We take so much for granted, but he comes to our heart's door and knocks. Yeah, just amazing, his love for us. Okay, so angels are greater in power than man. Well, let's look at just a few ways they are. Revelation 8. Revelation chapter 8, verse 13. The Bible says, and I beheld and heard an angel, what?
Flying
through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, 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 to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpets of the three angels which are yet to sound. So this angel flying through the midst of heaven. Boy, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? You guys, that sometimes you have to work a little farther away from home. Wouldn't it be nice if you could just get up, walk outside, and then fly to work? Just save all that gas. You wouldn't have to worry about traffic jams. Boy, that'd be nice. But we don't have that power in these physical bodies to fly through the air. But angels do. Look in Revelation 14. Revelation 14 and verse 6. So these are just some of the ways that angels are greater in power and might than us. They can fly through the air. Revelation 14, 6. And I saw another angel, what?
Fly
in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. So here again, we see an angel flying. Notice in Psalm 18, Psalm 18, verse 6. So angels have the ability to fly through the air, and we do not, unless we get on an airplane. And then it's really not us flying, it's the airplane flying. Psalm 18 and verse 6. The Bible says, give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer. Whoops, I'm sorry. I'm in the wrong psalm. Psalm 18, verse 6. Okay. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken, because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon what?
A cherub,
and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. So we see here that the Lord rides upon this cherub. And if we look in Ezekiel chapters 1 and 10, Ezekiel chapters 1 and 10, we find out that cherub angels are described as like a chariot for the Lord. And let's see, and we'll start in Ezekiel chapter 1. And let's start in verse 22, Ezekiel 1:22. And the likeness of the firmament upon the heads of the living creature was as the color of the terrible crystal, stretched forth over their heads above. And under the firmament were their wings straight, the one toward the other. Every one had two, which covered on this side. Every one had two, which covered on that side their bodies. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of an host. When they stood, they let down what?
Their wings.
So the Bible talks about angels flying, and some angels, it pictures with wings, and cherubs are one of those in particular. Verse 25, and there was a voice from over the firmament that was over their heads when they stood and had let down their wings. And above the firmament, and remember, verse 25, this firmament is over their heads. In verse 26, and above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of what? A throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone, and upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above it. And so these creatures, these cherub creatures, well, they have these four wings, but they are pictured like a living chariot for God flying. And of course, you look in chapter 10 as well, Ezekiel chapter 10, and verse 20, Ezekiel 10:20, this is the living creature that I saw under the God of Israel by the river of Kibar, and I knew that they were the cherubim. So when Ezekiel was looking at these creatures in chapter 1, he wasn't sure exactly what they were. Now by chapter 10, he understands these are cherubim, and they are these creatures that transport the glory of God. Now, we know that, we don't have time today to study, but we know the Bible describes Satan as a fallen cherub. And so, Satan was a cherub angel. How many of them are there? Well, notice with me in Psalm 68:17. The Bible says the chariots of God, and we've just seen that is what is pictured by these cherubs. The chariots of God are what?
20,000.
Well, but how can we know these? He's referring to cherubs. Well, read on. Even what?
Thousands of angels.
So the chariots of God are 20,000. Even thousands of angels. So we know it's not talking about God having a wooden chariot with wheels being drawn by horses, because the context goes on to say the chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. So Satan is not the only cherub angel. There, according to this right here, the chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. So there are a lot of cherub angels. Okay. All right. So that's the cherubim. Getting out of time here, but there's also the seraphim. So there are certain angels that are pictured with wings. One group of them are the cherubs, and we know there are thousands, 20,000, even thousands of angels. There's also seraphim. So cherubim, seraphim. Let's look at Isaiah 6. we can distinguish no difference between these two types of angels, cherubs and seraphs, other than the number of their wings. Their faces are pictured the exact same. Isaiah 6 and verse 1. Isaiah 6, 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood who? The seraphims. Each one had what? Six wings. Remember, the cherubs have four wings. These seraphims have six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. So these are pictured around the presence of God. What are their particular roles? I don't know, but the seraphims always seem to be associated with this holiness factor. And of course, God is holy. But I don't know exactly their duties. I don't know exactly what the cherubim, well, we know what the cherubims are, like living chariots for God, but I don't know all their duties. I don't know all the duties of the seraphim. We see these seraphim also in the book of Revelation, chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 6. Revelation 4 and verse 6. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. Well, that's reminding us a lot of Ezekiel chapter 1 and 10, describing the cherubims. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts, full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had the face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. So those are the same four faces that cherubs have. Verse 8, and the four beasts had each of them what? Six wings about him. And they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. So, some angels have wings, some just appear just like man. And sometimes, well, we have enough time, I think, to look at this really quick. Genesis 18. Abraham saw three what were said to be men approach him. And we find out that one of them was the Lord, and two of them were angels. So they didn't have wings. You know, oftentimes when man pictures, tries to draw an illustration of an angel, man always, it seems like, pictures angels with wings. But most of the time, when an angel appeared to man, there were no wings. They just thought they were normal people. Genesis 18:20. The Bible says, and the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it which has come unto me. And if not, I will know. And the who? The men. The men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And I probably should have read, we probably should back up to verse 1, Genesis 18, 1. It says, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, what? Three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. So the Bible describes it as three men showing up. And Abraham invites them for some food and some rest, and they accept his invitation. But as we just read in verses 20 through 22, the Lord stays there and talks with Abraham while these other two men go on. Well, we see who they are because they went towards Sodom, chapter 19, verse 1, Genesis 19:1. And there came two what? Angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, "Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house. And tarry all night, and wash your feet. And you shall rise up early and go on your ways." And they said what? Now, isn't it interesting that these two angels declined the offer to fellowship with Lot? There was none of that with Abraham. It was the Lord and two angels. And he invited them for some refreshment. And if you look, let's see, back in verse Genesis 18:5. This is Abraham talking, "And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are you come to your servant." And they said what? "So do, as thou hast said." But when Lot offers them this, in 19, verse 2, they say, "Nay, but we'll bide in the street all night." Have you ever wondered whether angels like being assigned to us? How would it be to be an angel of God assigned to someone that is not doing God's will? Someone who is saved but is not doing God's will. Well, these two angels declined the offer to go in. And so Lot had to beg them, verse 3, "And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him." I don't think they were too pleased with Lot. Even though Lot was vexed with the unlawful deeds of Sodom, he was still living there. And it's just really interesting. You think about the Holy Spirit who indwells us. When we get saved, the Holy Spirit indwells us. The Bible talks about, God says, he's talking to Israel, "You've made me to serve with your sins." What does that mean? It means God is dwelling with them and they're living in sin. So something to think about. God has given angels to minister to and protect us, but are they really enjoying their assignment? Sometimes not, I guess. But nonetheless, we're looking at these angels came, and both Abraham and Lot thought them to be just men. What's also interesting is the Lord does not go down and appear to Lot, just the two angels. You think about, we saw Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." The Lord wouldn't even go down with the angels to Sodom. It was such an abomination. Let's look in Hebrews 13 and how to apply that to our lives. Hebrews 13:1, "Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain" who? "Strangers, for thereby some have entertained" what? "Angels unawares." This is no doubt referring to Abraham and both Lot. They were both entertaining strangers. And in Abraham's case, it was the Lord and two angels. In Lot's case, it was two angels. And it says, "For thereby some have entertained angels unawares." So has that ever happened in our lives? I don't know. Have we ever helped a stranger that was really an angel? That was a test for us just to see if we would help them? I don't know. It's possible. It says, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers." Verse, "Thereby some have entertained angels unawares." Some intriguing thoughts. But angels, as we saw last time, angels, we are to thank God for angels, but we are not to worship angels, and we're not to try to seek communication with angels, but our communication is with the Lord, and he sends his angels to help on numerous occasions we don't even know, have no clue. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the angels that you have given to protect us and help us. And Father, I pray that our lives would not grieve you most of all. But Lord, it does stir our curiosity. The angels that are assigned to protect us, I just wonder how many times they are grieved. And Lord, I pray we would not grieve you, Father, and that we would not grieve those either that you have put to protect us and help us. Lord, thank you for your care. As we consider the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Lord, we seem so insignificant in this world, but we know, Lord, that you have a special job for each one of us. You designed us for a special course in life, just like the moon in its orbit, its course. Lord, help us not to swerve or vary from the course that you've ordained for us. May we please you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you.